first Thanksgiving was full of what the colonists probably would have called Indian food. Corn, squash, lobster, you know, all the things the Wampanoag tribe showed them how to grow and eat. But fast forward 400 years, and I'm here to tell you that you might want to put some literal Indian food on your Thanksgiving table. Vikram Sundaram is the chef of the restaurant Rasika in Washington, D.C., by way of London and Mumbai. He's been cooking his amazing Indian food in the U.S. for over a decade, and he's made incredible dishes inspired by American Thanksgiving. Many of them are captured in his new book, Rasika, and I met up with Vikram and his co-author, David Hagedorn, in Washington, in what I can guarantee was the best-smelling radio studio in history. So, Chef, David, thanks so much for joining us today.
A pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Pleasure to be here.
I'm actually joining you, because I'm actually in your town, you're not in my town. And thank you for bringing all this food. It smells incredible.
Thank you.
David, you've worked in food media for a while now, and so you understand the essential problem of every November issue of every magazine, right? Which is, what are we going to do this year, right? Because everyone says, I'm so bored of Thanksgiving, give me something new, something to look forward to.
Well, actually, I know it from three sides, having had a career as a chef for 25 years and having to come up with Thanksgiving menus in my restaurants, and I have my family over every year, so I have to do it there. And now we have this opportunity working with Vikram, which was tremendous fun, to really think of Thanksgiving in another way, which he helped me do completely.
Yeah.
Early on, one of the first recipes we tested was the cranberry chutney, and it was such an inspiration. It just made it so obvious to me how many of these dishes were appropriate for the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah. And then, Chef Vikram, you are not from the United States. You came here via London from India.
That's right.
And in your cooking, you've actually found yourself inspired to some degree by traditional American Thanksgiving flavors.
Definitely. When I came to America, you know, I wasn't aware so much of Thanksgiving, but obviously living here for the last 12 years, Thanksgiving is a very big holiday here. So every year we came up with dishes for Thanksgiving at the restaurant. And so we put some of them on the menu, like the samosas with the cranberry chutney, the smoked butternut squash, bhartha, the green bean chili garlic. So there are some of the dishes we have, which are in the book.
So you've brought some of these dishes.
That's right.
And this is really all an excuse for me to get to eat your food.
Perfect.
So can we taste our way through some of these, and you can tell us about the inspiration and how you made them?
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to start with the, this is sweet potato samosa.
That's right.
With cranberry chutney.
Uh-huh.
This samosa is like a crispy dumpling. You've filled almost like a phyllo dough or like a spring roll wrapper type of pastry. You've tied it off with a scallion, and you fried it so the edges come up like a beautiful cloth. All right, I'm going in. Oh, dude. That's good.
Now, again, cranberries is one of the essential ingredients during Thanksgiving. And we made a chutney with it where we put spices like cinnamon, cloves, cardamom, green chilies.
Mm. And of course, the chutney, when we were testing the recipe, and Vikram would come over to my house so that we could test everything on a home kitchen stove instead of a professional one. And by the way, that made me very popular in my neighborhood. Everyone knew when he was there, and everyone knew when he left because they were standing by our back door. When we first tested the chutney, which was pretty early on, I thought, this needs to be marketed. You need to jar it and sell it for Thanksgiving. Put some of that with a piece of turkey and gravy. It's amazing.
Yeah, you can really taste sweetness, but that bright, bright, bright tartness from the cranberries, but also this little bit of heat.
That's right.
It sort of sails through it.
Right. Can you imagine that kick of heat on Thanksgiving table? It's something so unusual. It's something not found.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Thanksgiving is, it's brown food and white food, right?
Right.
It's delicious. It's very, but it's very, like, it's sort of one note. It's a one big, warm, comforting hug, but it's, that's kind of all you get. So this is a little bit of a, you know, this is like when your aunt comes and slaps you across the face a little bit. It's like, I love you.
Yeah, the Indian spices do give it a third dimension, you can say, to the Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah. So let's talk about your butternut squash bhartha. How do you make this?
Yes, now bhartha is traditionally made with eggplant. It's called Bengan bhartha. Mm-hmm. But obviously, being Thanksgiving, butternut squash has to be on the table. So we made a smoked butternut squash mash. That's what it is. Mm. So it's cooked with onions, tomatoes, ginger, green chilies. And you roast the butternut squash. And then we cook the butternut squash with the onion tomato masala. And once that is done, we smoke it.
Mm.
So you can get the smoke flavor in the butternut squash.
This is like, can we cancel the recording right now? Because I'm just sitting here and eat the rest of this. It's amazing.
The smoking technique is actually quite brilliant. You take a briquette and you get it hot on the stove. You can do it on an electric stove or a gas stove. And while that's heating up, you take a piece of aluminum foil, heavy-duty aluminum foil, and on that you put some cloves. And then once the briquette is ash hot, you put the foil on top of the squash with the cloves, and then you put the briquette on, and then you pour ghee or melted butter over it, which creates the smoke, and you put the lid on and just let the lid stay on until the smoke dissipates, which is about 10 minutes or so. It's such a brilliant smoking technique. They use it for the dal at Rossica, which is a life-altering experience once you tasted that dal.
Okay, hearing you describe that smoking technique is changing my life for now, because I have to say, when I taste it, I'm like, oh, the flavor is so beautiful. I get the spice, I get that onion, I get the little crunch from onion that's in this in the mashed sweet potato, which you don't kind of expect. But the smoke was so interesting because it didn't taste like a typical wood smoke. It tasted that sort of burnt oil flavor, like if you're cooking Chinese food in a wok.
That's right. Exactly. Really stir fry. That's right.
Yeah, you get the little bit of that flavor in there, and that's because you're actually smoking the oil. Like you're burning the oil just a little bit to get that flavor in the. Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, so the green beans, chili, garlic. I mean, these look like green beans chopped up into little bits that you've stir fried and now almost coated in this paste of onions and aromatics. I'm gonna get in here
again. Now, in the context of Thanksgiving, green bean casserole is always, again, on the Thanksgiving table. So it's caramelized onions, burnt garlic, chili flakes, green chilies, ginger, and then the green beans are tossed in it.
Yeah. Green bean casserole is no fun compared to this.
It's different, definitely, but that's Indian food does add spice to the table.
Yeah, but it's not just, the heat is very prominent, but it's not just the heat, it's the fact that you get all that caramelized flavor from the garlic and the ginger.
And as a recipe developer, what's appealing to me, especially in this day and age of people not wanting to spend much time on things, is that you can blanch the green beans ahead of time, even the day before, and then the dish comes together really quickly at the end.
And this is great, too, because the kind of thing where everyone's like, how do I time it? How do I time everything?
Right.
How do I time everything?
That's right.
Yeah, so many foods in Thanksgiving are long cooked, slow cooked, or have been cooked a while ago and have been sort of hanging around. So to do something at the last minute, you can add that freshness to the table, too.
Exactly.
And Chef, you wanted to tell us for sure about your stuffed dates with the saffron chili beurre blanc.
Yes. I mean, that's, again, a fun way of putting dates on the table because, you know, the Italians have dates stuffed with mascarpone. Mm-hmm. But here we've stuffed the dates with goat cheese, with some chili powder, chaat masala, which gives it a bite to it. And then we grilled the dates on a tawa, which is a flat griddle. And we made a saffron chili beurre blanc to go with it.
That doesn't sound like a problem.
And for people who don't like a goat cheese, you can use paneer instead, for example.
It's so good.
What a rapturous look.
That's so good.
I have to admit, I was a little bit skeptical because I like dates fine, but I'm not a huge dates fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because often to me, they're too sweet.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The stuffing it with the cheese adds a little bit of a layer of, mitigates the sweetness. And I'm sort of fascinated by it. Like, there's almost a crispness to the dates.
Yes, because you're grilling it on the tawa, which is a flat griddle, with very, just bare minimum, what do you call, oil of any fat.
I'm not talking anymore.
And that sweetness you talk about really speaks to Thanksgiving, because when you think about pecan pie and corn syrup and molasses and the things, brown sugar, the things we use at Thanksgiving, the dates really fall right into that because they just slip in very easily.
Yeah, totally. This is, if you had somehow made pecan pie part of the appetizer table instead of the dessert table, this is kind of what it's like, only with more heat and spice and complexity. And Okay, to be honest, I would love to sit here and keep talking with you because this is fascinating. I love your techniques, but I just want to go eat this now. So thank you for coming in. And happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Same to you.
Vikram Sundaram and David Hagedorn are co-authors with Ashok Bajaj of Rasika, Flavors of India. And I'm serious, that food was incredible. You should have seen, like, everyone in the studio just fly to it after we wrapped. or you can watch that happen at your home. Find their recipes for sweet potato samosa purses, cranberry chutney, green bean chili garlic, and butternut squash barta at splendidtable.org.